Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and my next guest argues that what matters in economics, what matters in the general health of a society, is not the amount of poverty so much as the amount of inequality, whether we are talking Haiti, the United States, or wherever. Kate Pickett, professor of public health at the University of York in the UK, is co-author of a new book called The Spirit Level, Why Greater Equality Makes Societies Stronger. Professor Pickett, hello from New York. Welcome to WNYC.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the program.
Now, you wrote that, like with public health, how happy people are tends to rise. Let me back up a minute. Tell us why you think equality is more important than the amount of poverty.
Well, it's quite clear that among rich market democracies, there's no longer any relationship between economic growth and measures of quality of life, such as life expectancy, happiness, general measures of quality of life. A country can be twice as rich as another, and it makes no difference at all to these things. Now, we're not talking about developing countries. I think in your introduction you mentioned Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Our analysis is confined to rich market democracies, capitalist economies, and it's in these that we find that economic growth is no longer providing us with benefits in terms of our quality of life.
And that's where I was going to go a minute ago, because you write that, like with public health, how happy people are tends to rise in the early stages of growth, then level off.
Exactly.
What is some of your research on that?
Exactly. I mean, if you look at countries like the USA that have doubled their wealth, doubled people's incomes over the last few decades, happiness hasn't risen at all. And neither has the benefits of economic growth for life expectancy. You know, if you're suffering malnutrition, then food matters. If you don't have shelter, then shelter matters. But once we get beyond a certain level of material well-being, then having more doesn't actually provide us any benefit.
Ah, but then why equality more than where the bottom is? I mean, to take an extreme hypothetical, if everyone makes $100,000 in today's dollars, would they really mind if the top 1% is making $10 billion a year and there's a lot of inequality?
Well, that's exactly what our research shows. It does matter, because it's all relative. What matters for us in society today is our social position, our relative social position. We're very, very sensitive to that and to how that makes us feel. We all have enough to eat. We don't need more material things, but we're still consistently sensitive to the way we're seen through the eyes of others. And in more unequal societies, the social divisions between us are bigger. The social distances between us are stretched out. And that's a cause of chronic stress for us.
Although there is still poverty, maybe you underestimate it. It might not be the kind of hunger that you would find in Haiti or somewhere like that, but in the United States, the minimum wage is so low you can work full-time and still live in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
We have a so-called living wage movement to try and counter that.
Yes.
But maybe if we had a social contract with a wage that would actually prevent you from also needing food stamps or to go to soup kitchens and food pantries, then, you know, if the bottom was reasonably high, then maybe we wouldn't care who's rich and how much inequality there was.
I think we might still care. The evidence is that inequality matters, whatever the economic achievement of a particular society. The U.S., you're right, is unusual. It has extremely high levels of inequality, despite being one of the richest societies on Earth. That inequality is particularly damaging to people who are at the bottom of society. But what our research shows is that inequality actually is damaging for the vast majority of the population, not just those at the bottom.
You do explicitly call in this book for looking more negatively upon rich people. What do you think that would accomplish?
I don't think we're calling for negatively looking upon rich people at all. What we're showing is a vast array of evidence that when the gap between the rich and the poor gets too big, then the whole of society suffers. That's not a negative view of rich people at all. And in fact, we've all been sold the idea that our happiness will come about if we achieve great riches for ourselves. I think what our evidence is showing is that we all suffer when that gap is bigger, the rich as well as the poor.
Do you think that your argument is a tougher sell in the United States than in the UK? I tend to think so, because wealth here, I think, is more often seen as the result of hard work and imagination rather than privilege that maybe you're born with. You know, Michael Bloomberg, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, people don't begrudge them their wealth for the most part. What matters is whether their businesses are evil. And they're also seen as signs of possibility. There mm-hmm. seems to be more, whether it's true or not, objectively, there seems to be more of a belief in class mobility here.
Yes, and one of the very interesting and most important things we show in our book is that the USA actually has the lowest social mobility of any of the countries for which it's measured. And it's strongly related to your level of inequality. That's probably because more unequal countries, children do less well in school, more human potential is wasted. And that there is this idea that inequality drives creativity, drives aspiration. But when we looked at a measure of creativity in different societies, we looked at patents per capita, you know, as a sort of a proxy measure for how innovative a society is. More equal societies do significantly better, and actually the USA does very, very poorly on that measure. So you might have one or two individuals who are bucking the trend.
You're arguing for the United States to become more like Scandinavia, I guess, with those kinds of government.
Not at all.
Because your top three for developed equal countries, you know, equality in developed countries, are all in Scandinavia, and then Japan is in the top four, too.
That's on current levels of inequality. And if you look at your own history, the USA used to be one of the most equal of the rich, developed Western countries. From the time of the Great Depression, the New Deal, onwards through probably through the 1970s, you were a very equal, a very egalitarian country with phenomenal economic growth and really scoring highly on things like quality of life, life expectancy, and all of those things in relation to other people, to other countries. And you've lost that. So it's not a sort of an idea that you need to be anti-American or look towards a very different model.
And your last thing before we go, and our next segment is going to be a call-in for Haitian Americans seeking immigration advice. Your book does not mention Haiti, but of course that's in the news right now for the reasons we know. And people elsewhere are realizing the extremes of inequality that Haiti has, with a massive majority of very poor people and a small minority of rich and privileged. Any thoughts about Haiti?
Yes, of course. Haiti needs economic growth and greater equality. What's different about our modern countries is that we don't need that growth anymore. We need more equality itself. But countries like Haiti, they need both.
The book is called The Spirit Level, Why Greater Equality Makes Societies Stronger. Kate Pickett, Professor of Public Health at the University of York in the UK, is the co-author. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And question that we will ask when we talk to our immigration lawyer in a minute to start out is, why should a Haitian living in the U.S. illegally come out from the shadows to apply for this temporary protected status that they're offering? What will happen to that person when the status expires in 18 months? They'll be then known to the government, who will deport them or maybe not. We'll find out. And we'll take phone calls from Haitian Americans for an immigration lawyer. You can call in right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Haitian immigration advice coming up next.